people. Thank you, Donovan, for a beautiful message. Please let's give the band a hand. Wow, when the kids disappear, the place looks almost empty, doesn't it? So many children. How is everyone? I think I know everyone in the room. Everyone, so no need to introduce myself. It's good. So I just want to acknowledge our senior pastors, Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrew, and also Pastor Stephen. They're all in Fremantle. I was there last week, and it was just nice to be there with the team and see what they're doing. So it's always good to kind of go between the two places. So today's an exciting day. It's a really good day because this is the time where now finally we're going to be giving into our story, our future, if you haven't already done so. So you'll notice that the cards are there. Feel free to fill it in at any time, because at the end we're just going to collect and we're going to get people to come to the front and just put in whatever they're putting into there. So just a bit of a review of what we've been talking about so far. You've probably heard this the last 2 weeks, but I still need to repeat it. So in 2020, $55,000 faith promises. And of that $55,000, $45,000 has come through. $31,000 has been spent, do repairs and, you know, do whatever else needed to be done both here and in Fremantle. And there was 33 salvations. That's just incredible. That's 33 lives. Yes, that's the graph up there. You don't really need to use it today, but if you're interested, that's what it is, the stuff. So the different jobs, painting, I can't see it from that far. Installation of air conditioner in the kids' zone. So there was no air conditioner before, but thanks to your giving, we now have that. Roof repairs, and there's a maintenance officer, and they work 2 days a week, and so their wage comes from our story of future. It's okay, you can put it down. I don't need it that much. So a bit of history around C3 Fremantle is that in 1996, there was 14, I call them visionaries because that's what they are, 14 visionaries who went out to set up a church in C3 Fremantle before they were in Hepburn Heights, and they had a vision and they went and they established C3 Fremantle. 25 years down the track, the church had grown. They had, oh, there it is, new facilities. There was a charity which we call Potcare. Have you all been to Potcare? No? Okay. If you haven't been to Potcare, I would encourage you to go. I got one of my, I don't have it here, I got myself a $5 bag, but you would never know it was a $5 bag. Very nice. So there's nice little things you can find there. So there's Potcare, and then there was overseas campuses that have been started. So I believe there's C3 Philippines, there's C3 Sierra Leone, C3 Liberia, and what have I missed? Okay, that's it for the overseas ones, right? And then in 2016, we can take a wild guess what happened in 2016. You guys, that's where you come into the picture. C3 Wellard, 20 years down the track from 1996 to 2016, Wellard campus, right? Now, I just want to share a bit of my story, because today we're talking about our story, our future. So I want to talk about my story. So where was I in 1996? The answer is up there. High school. I was in my final year of high school, and let's just say I was 16 going on 17. Have you guys watched The Sound of Music? There's a line there that talks about I'm just 16 going on 17, right? That's what it says? Yeah. Anyway, I digress. I was a teenager, final year of high school. I was actually in a very interesting position. I was the head girl of the school. But I was also going through my own, I guess, teenage woes is what I'm calling them. I was a tomboy, for one. I loved rap music. I still don't mind some of it. I loved rap music, and for some people who were in high school that year, do you know who was the most popular rap artist back then? MC Hammer. Okay, not him. Anyone? Pop Daddy, no. Snoop Dogg, no.
Will Smith.
Will Smith. He does a bit of rap, but no, not Will Smith.
He's hip hop, isn't he?
Who was the most popular rap artist in 1996? Tupac.
Who?
Of course, Tupac. Thank you, Manla. Okay, Tupac. Now, Tupac, he was 26 years old in 1996, and he died in 1996. And that rocked my world. Because, you know, that, you know, as a teenager, your whole life is about music, artists, and all of that. So that was one significant thing that happened for me in that year. High school, in a position of leadership, and but you still have all these things happening. But then I also had a bit of conflict with a family member, an adult, and they disciplined me in a way that I didn't like. So I decided to take a bunch of pills. That's what teenagers do. I took all these pills because at the time I was very unwell. I had all these headaches. So I had a lot of pills. I had access to those pills and I took all of them. And after I took them, before I decided to go to sleep, I called one of my friends to let them know what I had done. I don't know why. Maybe I just needed somebody to know. So let them know, and then I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I had this terrible burning sensation from the pills. Now, obviously, God had other plans for my life, because here I stand, right? Now, as you can see, we all know about these t-shirts that we are wearing about the power of relationship and that it's about the vision for this year that's based on Psalm 78. But I wanted to hone in on verse 4, which says, we will not hide them being deeds. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And I just needed to remind us of that scripture because I want to talk about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. I just shared one that I'm standing here despite what I was trying to do back then. But I wanted to share a little bit more about the praiseworthy deeds of God. In 2004, I got married. And got married, but I was almost widowed. When I got married, can you believe, this card here, my mother gave us this on February 19th. That was like our wedding card, you know. I found it while I was looking through some stuff a few days ago. And I just was interested to see the date on there, you know, with love always, Dundu, that's my mother's name, February 19th, 2004. So that was a special card. However, on the 23rd of February, so how many days is that? 4 days later, I have this. Now you can't read it, so I'll read it from you. But at the top there, it says Khabroni Private Hospital. And on there, it says, Mr. Magwenzi has been admitted to Khabroni Private Hospital following injuries from a road traffic accident. That is a day I will never forget. So 4 days later, after we got married, there was a really bad car accident where Pastor Stephen was trapped under the car. I just woke up to a phone call to say, from my uncle, just wanted to let you know there's been an accident and Stephen is critical. I will never forget those words. So I've written on there my story from death to life. I just want to share my story from death to life, where it looked like it was death, but God had other plans. So that was 2004. 2005, I've called it baby, you know, the ripple effect. I like to play with words, you know, and that's about, you know, Mandla, who's today doing the interesting job of being service manager. And in 2005, that's when he was born. But 6 months before, when I was 6 months pregnant with him, I was in Wollongong in New South Wales, and I was in the water. And I didn't know that I was about to drown. I just heard my husband, you know, calling out to someone to help, that his wife is drowning. You know, the water, it comes and it just does this, it just takes you. But I didn't know that's what was happening. But God had other plans. That's why I've called it the ripple effect. God had other plans. He is the God of strength, and that's why he's called Mandla. Mandla means strength of God. Yes, Mandla, I can see you there. Just waving. That was 2005. In 2007, baby floor work. And of course, that's about the God of peace. That's Noctula there. She's called Noctula, which is about peace of God. And she was born on the floor. She wasn't meant to be, but she was. But, you know, God had other plans. And unfortunately, when she was born on the floor, I was half drugged because I'd been given sleeping pills about half an hour before. So, you know, it was almost disastrous. But like I said, from death to life, God had other plans, and here we stand. The last one I have there, 2009, Witepo sitting right at the back there. I think I've spoken about her before, and it's about the faithfulness of God. Because with her, we were told that, you know, we were given advice to get rid of the pregnancy 3 different times. But God had other plans for her. And of course, you know, the condition was that she was born with the intestines outside her body. But all that got sorted out. But I just wanted to highlight the goodness of God, because God is a God of miracles. If we could have the next slide, please, about Psalm 77. Sorry, next scripture. Psalm 77. It says, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." He is a God of miracles. I just want you to take a minute to just reflect that you are a miracle. And God has done miracles in your own life. And it's good for us to just take a minute and reflect on that, because sometimes we forget. The fact that you're here this morning is a sign that He is a miracle. Because I know that for some of you, it took a lot to actually show up this morning. But you showed up anyway, despite whatever else is going on in your life. So we just want to acknowledge that He is a God of miracles. Psalm 34, verse 17-18. It says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I'm sure we all have had moments where we have cried out. Some of us cry out loud, some of us cry inside. But one way or another, we've all had moments where we have cried out, but it says that He delivers us from them all. The fact that you're sitting here this morning, it means you have been delivered. It doesn't matter that you still have stuff you're going through, because we'll always have stuff going on. At any given time, somebody else is going through something that you went through at a different time. So there's always something happening. But the fact that you showed up, that's what you've got to reflect on. That the fact that we're here this morning is a sign that He has delivered us, right? And He will continue to deliver us, because that's who He is. My story is your story. It's our story. It's our future. Our story is God's story. So, once again, I just want to highlight, in 1998, I want to paint a picture of how we ended up here. In 1998, that's when we arrived in Australia, or I arrived, sorry. Stephen arrived the following year. And the interesting thing is the circumstances of us arriving here were just incredible. I was interested to hear what Donovan was talking about when he's talking about losing money. Because for me to come to Australia in 1998, that was the work of God. Sometimes I forget the details, so my mother will have to correct me. But somewhere between the time I finished high school and... you finish high school and you do a year of what they call national service. And then the following year, I came to Australia. But in that year of doing national service, I lost all my documents that ever showed that I ever did anything related to school. Anything that showed that who I was. I don't know, I happen to have all these documents, but all my certificates, I lost them. I don't know where, I don't know how. But it meant that I was stuck in terms of what I was going to do. I couldn't apply for anywhere for, you know, further studies without those documents. But I had not long become a Christian. And one day I was lying in bed, and I heard a whisper to say, "Wake up, go to your cousin's place, and ask for $2. I'll use dollars. Tupula. And I thought, wow, that's a strange thing to hear. I didn't really know much about the Holy Spirit back then. But then I got up. And you know when you first become a Christian, you get excited about everything. So I was excited. I got up and I went to check out this thing. So I got in a taxi and I went to get this. And when I got to my cousin's office, her office was here, but next to her office was a police station. And before I went to her office, I just heard the same voice say, go into that police station and you will find your documents. I was like, okay. And so I went through the police station and I went to the office and I said, my name is so-and-so and I'm just here to get my papers that I lost. And no, sorry, I said to them, I'm just looking for your lost and found box. And he just kind of pointed over there. So I walked over there and I looked in the box and I was like, okay, it's nothing, 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 nothing. Onami Macha, okay, that's my name. And then I pick up this paper, and then I pick up the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and all my documents were there, all my certificates, all the things that I had lost. I don't know where I lost them. I don't know how they got there, but I know that He's a God of miracles. And He does speak to us. He still speaks to us. 2021, He still speaks. Now, I took those certificates, and I was very excited. I went to my cousin's place, and I said, oh, hi, I just came to see you. Guess what? And I told her the whole story. Now, that was part one. Part two was not long after that, I was at home again, and I was just lying there, and I was listening to this lady talking on the radio, and I thought, oh, I really like the sound of her voice. I should actually go and meet her. So I picked up the phone, and I called Radio Botswana, and I said, hi, my name is so-and-so, and you know, I just really would like to meet you because I like the way you say things on the radio. Can I meet you? And she said, sure, you can. And I went to see this lady. But before I went through, went to Radio Botswana, there was the Ministry of Education. Now, this is where you come in. I went to the Ministry of Education, and when I went there, I saw this room. And in this room, there were all these people sitting down, filling in these papers. And I said to someone, what's happening in that room? And they said, oh, that's just students who are filling in application forms to go to Australia. Not application forms, paperwork for Australia. And I said, oh, Australia. That's one of the places I've applied for. Can you check if my name's on that list? What's your name? And I told them. They looked. Oh, there, your name is there. You should actually be in that room. And so I went into that room and I sat down and I filled in whatever paperwork. So those were the students who were scheduled to go to Australia in 1998. And of course, we all, had I not been in that place at that time, you know, talking about being in the right place at the right time, there's no way I would be here right now because I had applied for England, I'd applied for America. And so I went in the room, I filled in, and that was the beginning of the journey of me coming to Australia. Now, to me, if that's not God's work, I don't know what is. Now, there's more to the story, obviously, but that's the bit that I really wanted to highlight, that He is a God of miracles, and it just was interesting to hear you talk about that. So, 98, I arrived in Australia. 99, I met Pastor Stephen in South Australia. 2011, we went to C3 Port Hedland, and that was our introduction to see the world of C3. And then September 29 of 19, we came to Perth, and then we came to visit Wellard. 2020, we took on these roles of executive pastor and pastoral care and overseeing Wellard campus. I just wanted to take you through the journey, that my story is your story, it's His story for us. Nothing happens by accident. God always has His hand on what's happening. So I just wanted to, I think we're all now maybe sick of seeing these cards, I don't know. But these cards, if you've got that next to you, if you can have a look at it. This card is not necessarily just about having that one-off giving, but it is about, it's a promise card. It's a promise card. If you've not filled it in, this is the time to start looking at that because we're going to prepare to give. So I'll get Kieran. I called you the right name this time. I'll get Kieran to come and play because I just want to share a poem and get you ready. If you fill that in, to bring your cards, because we're going to come up and we're going to put in our cards. So if we could get the pens, please, just fill in that card, because we've been praying, haven't we? We've been asking God what we should give. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. So give what you feel God has put on your heart. And when you're ready, when I finish with the poem, I'm just going to encourage you just to go row by row. We're going to come. We'll have a little bit of music playing in the background, but we're going to give our cards. And then when you finish, we're just going to pray over the offering. So I just want to finish up with this poem. I wish I'd made it into a song, but I'll just say it as a poem. It's called, So Let Us Build. Like the psalmist says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Yes, we do cry out. Rejected, dejected, neglected, the righteous cry out. Alienated, displaced, and misplaced. Have you ever shed a tear? Had your heart broken? Grief and loss? I've seen personal, family, tragedies, sudden loss, sudden death. It never made sense. Still, the Lord heard me. Like the psalmist says, He delivers them from all their troubles. So let us build. For those who will walk through the doors and have tears with nowhere to land, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So let us build. For those who walk through the doors and are brokenhearted and need a place to lay down their broken pieces, let us build. I heard that buildings are access points, access to you and I, access to other believers, carriers of hope. So let us build. Open up your eyes and see and hear the word of the Lord for you. You. Yes, you are the missing part of the puzzle, the much needed piece of the puzzle. Should you give yourself to the building of the house, His house, and not just your own, this is what shall be said, C3 Wellard. By faith, you became the eyes, the hands, the feet, the love of Jesus. Here on earth, here in Perth, here in Wellard. So let us build. For He is with us. God is with us. This is our story, our future. So let us build. Amen. So I'm just going to encourage you. We're just going to start with the front row. If you just want to come up and just put your card in. Just row by row. And when you finish, just stand. Just remain standing there, because we just have to pray over this. Please feel free. Keep playing. It's okay. Thank you, Karen. Please, you can start coming with your cards. And just put them.